Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Tuesday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well on this it's overcast and probably a chance of rain a little later. As a matter of fact, chance of thunderstorms and some strong gusty winds, and hopefully that's it. But, I mean, talk with our buddy Tex last night, who said, I'm afraid you may be getting what we have.
Uh-oh.
He was talking that there were some gusts of up to 80 miles an hour in Baton Rouge trees down in his neighborhood. So hopefully it's calmed down before it gets here. But as you hear a familiar voice there commenting
in the studio,
yes, it the threat of weather has caused cancellation of Auburn's last non-conference game of the season.
Just looking at the forecast for Hoover, and a year ago Auburn was set to play Samford in Hoover and then go to Ole Miss for the second to last weekend of the SEC,
right?
And we all went to Hoover. They take batting practice over at a beautiful baseball facility just over the hill that the SEC uses as well. Had already done Butch's pregame show. Brad and I are in the stadium, in our booth, getting ready for the broadcast, and there was a cell of rain that started to fall, and it never moved, and it was only over the Hoover Met.
Sort of like a pig pen.
Exactly. We were like in a Peanuts movie or something here. And it never did move, and it was canceled. The game was canceled. I think we got into the broadcast, and we were done at that point.
Right.
So I think with that in mind, and the threat of rain in Hoover was going up till game time today, and they didn't want Auburn to make the trip there and then get canceled and have to come back home. So we have a night free.
So that means Auburn will finish the season with 53 games.
Yep.
You can play 56, but three cancellations. So now, and by the way, that's Andy Burcham, in case anybody is wondering.
Hey there.
It's like, boy, that sounds like Andy. It is. The voice of the Tigers here in the studio, along with Bill and Dan and Drew at the controls. Auburn will play 53 games, and that means the Alabama series will determine whether Auburn has a winning overall season or not.
It does, and that's important for this team. It's important to finish strong on this season, to do it against Alabama, and Alabama has a great deal on the line as well. Alabama probably needs a win or two to get themselves in position for the postseason.
Yeah,
at
they have
this point.
They 11 conference wins?
Not a lot of 12 win teams have advanced.
No, 13's not a guarantee.
It is
but
not.
13 is the number feel like.
But 13 gets you
base.
In the picture.
Yes.
The 13 win teams have at this point. So there's a lot on the line. In addition to just it's Auburn-Alabama, right?
Right.
So, and I think we're going to be probably dodging some raindrops this weekend as well.
Yeah,
I'm afraid.
Looks like it.
So we'll get to the ballpark Thursday. It's 6 o'clock on Thursday. 6 o'clock on Friday, and remember, the Saturday game has been moved to a 5 o'clock start.
Rare for Auburn to be in a position where they're going into the last series of the season knowing it's the end of the season. There won't be an SEC tournament or a postseason.
The last time that, well, as a matter of fact, I mean, even Butch's first year at Auburn, they went into the last day of the regular season. And had they beaten Vanderbilt in Nashville, they would have still qualified as the 12 seed. So it's been a long time since Auburn has been in this spot. I mean, what, 3 years ago when Auburn didn't make the tournament 21, when Auburn didn't make the tournament, it did make the tournament, and it clinched a spot on the second to last day of the regular season. So this is unusual. I don't think it will happen again anytime soon. Listen, folks have asked me, are you ready for this season to be over? I'm never ready for baseball season to be over. I'm just not. This is such an enjoyable time of the year, personally, for me. I've been doing it for such a long time with baseball. And the postseason baseball, and Bill, you've been there, you know, postseason baseball is about as much fun you can have
really
as a broadcast. It is a blast to find out if you're hosting or if you're going somewhere and you're looking at the draw and, well, what do we have to do here? Maybe if we win and someone else upsets, you can host a super regional and, wow, then Omaha's there. Mm-hmm. So I'm never happy the baseball season's over.
And one of the hardest things I've found in working
my with wife's listening to this on the drive-in, she's like, yeah, well, I'm glad it's over.
the last few seasons with Troy, like one of, and I've been lucky in that the team has been very, very successful, and I don't have to do this all that often. But the post-game interview after a loss, especially a difficult loss, is one of the in doing this professionally, one of the harder tasks.
You all have been in this situation as well. If you've done it long enough and you put as much into it as all three of us have and are, you feel for those guys to lose a ball game. It's personal because I don't want to see Butch and this team and his staff go through something like that.
You're right. And you have a situation that is unusual in that you know when your last post game is coming up.
Yeah.
A lot of times, the season's ending, and you're not ready for the season to be over.
Yale.
This time.
Let me use one word.
Yes.
Yale.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
But this time you know.
Right. We do.
And it's really odd to be in that type of situation. I will say this.
Yep.
After that very painful loss on Friday, I was really, really impressed with how they bounced back, run ruling Missouri on Saturday and then winning, hanging on and winning. So going into this last series now against Alabama with a chance to, close things out strong.
You've won four of your last five, including the final game of the Ole Miss series and then the win against Georgia Tech last Tuesday. My headphones are going out for just a second. Don't worry about it. I can hear myself. But and then you get two of three against Missouri. So and Friday was so tough because that was the final straw. That's the game that did eliminate Auburn from any kind of postseason. So yeah, I think naturally it's like, well, how does this team respond? I mean, this has been an incredibly tough season where there have been times of the year where the hitting was fabulous and the pitching didn't help. And then there were times where the pitching was there and the offense was not good. And then we saw both of it this past week. Really good pitching against Georgia Tech in Atlanta. You saw
a good starting pitching.
Absolutely.
At Missouri.
And yeah, really good starting pitching, especially on Saturday and Sunday. So for that team to respond the way it did, it only made one error on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Defensively, and to come back and to hit the ball continuously all weekend long. Auburn was really on fire from an offensive standpoint, from a power standpoint, and it was nice and it got a little scary there at the end on Sunday, but it was nice to get a win, a series win for Auburn. And, of course, at that point we thought there were still four games left, now three games left. Great deal to play for. The crowds, let me say this, and I know Butch has talked about this a little bit as well. The crowds this season have been the best we've ever seen at Auburn. You look at the numbers, mm-hmm. they're as good as they've ever been at Auburn. So thank you to you, the Auburn family, for being there. I hope you're there this weekend for Auburn, Alabama. And, of course, with the new amenities that are coming, with the new club down the right side that you can watch being built, there's something brand new added to that every day. This will be the last three games that we broadcast in our current press box facility. Our booth is going to be cut in half, as I understand it, for both home and visiting radio. And then everything in the middle between the two broadcast booths, the radio on one side and TV on the other, is going to become a new club level for Auburn. So there are changes coming all over this ballpark, much needed, long needed. Finally happening
right
at Auburn. So there's a great deal to be excited about. with this Auburn team. And I and listen, when there have been down years in the past, Auburn baseball, and not just in Butch's time at Auburn, there haven't been many down years. But boy, we've seen those teams respond immediately the next season.
We are in different times, no question. Now, baseball, there's always been more player movement, if you will, in baseball. I mean, we've seen that through the years, but now with the transfer portal and NIL, there is even more movement than ever before. So it's going to be really interesting. And again, roster management, those two words right there are so important now in every sport. But there's no telling, you know, who all is back. You have a good idea. You have obviously some hopes of who will be back.
Sure.
But you have a good idea of who could be back.
Yes, you have a good you have a really good idea. You know who could be back.
But that's but
that doesn't guarantee that they will be back.
And there's a different dynamic in baseball. I mean, there is the NIL, there is still the transfer portal, but there's also the Major League Baseball draft, which there isn't in the NFL. You don't even declare for the Major League Baseball draft. You're just drafted.
That's
and
right.
Then you decide. That's not the case in football or basketball. You declare.
I wish that all the sports were a little, had more similar rules because they're all so different.
Right.
But you're absolutely right. So, I mean, a player either 3 years out of high school or turning 21, can be drafted.
Well, Chris Stanfield is a draft-eligible sophomore this year. So that's a decision to be made if the draft becomes available to Chris. So and that has affected Auburn in years past, those draft eligible sophomores and what kind of draft, and boy, he's played so well down the stretch of this season.
Yeah,
he's a five tool guy with his speed. He has shown power.
How about he doubled his home runs past weekend in Missouri?
I know it.
For the season.
Indeed. Yeah. Indeed.
The thought of if they're back, the thought of Stanfield, Cade Ballew, Ike Irish, Cooper McMurray, in the middle of a – I mean, it sounds adjacent to faint praise here, but that's really impressive for a team that won 6 or 7 or 8 or however many SEC games Auburn goes into next season having won this year. I mean, there are pieces if you can – and again, now part of recruiting is re-recruiting players who are eligible to.
I'll give you a little behind the scenes, all right? I'm not going to give you any proprietary information here. Typically, when we're on the road, the first day, the first full day that we're there, so it's typically the Friday, we like to take Butch Thompson to lunch. And we'll pick a spot and we'll have lunch and just have a nice count. Well, a couple weeks ago, we had asked him and he said, I'll be having lunch with Carl Nonnemaker today. This is a roster time. And so they were going over everything, Dan and Bill, you guys have talked about. Draft, portal, NIL money, the high school recruiting class that's already coming in. How many do we likely get to Auburn? I mean, there's some guys that Auburn had commitments from going into the draft last year that they lost to the draft that would have been a major improvement with this ball club this year. So that's something that's going on. Well, it's going on all the time.
It's going on every day. Yeah. And I mentioned the other day just a little of what Butch had just was talking about following our get-together last week. You were in there.
Yes.
And I mean, Butch was –
yeah, we left right after that to head to the airport.
Butch was saying, he's not – it's a very tough time. He's not getting much sleep. This is not what, what it used to be because – roster management because of, what do you do with the players coming in, expect certain things and are looking and you want to develop your players. But, talking about having to make decisions that are either the best for him, which he's not going to do. He's going to do the best for the team.
It's best for the program.
It is so difficult.
Yeah, absolutely. It is. And I credit to Butch, a man of great integrity, that I don't think he's going to look necessarily for the quick fix.
No, absolutely not.
Listen, is there going to be some change in this? Absolutely. We're in a day, I don't think there will ever be a time anytime soon where we see the exact same team moving from 1 year to the next with all of its core members. I just think that day has passed. I also don't think that this is a team and a program under Butch that is going to forsake the high school ranks just to get better quick at this point.
No, you have to be very aware and
sure.
be very proactive with pieces you think that could supplement what you have and could help, you know, make a big change, make a big difference.
Here's another thing you don't want to happen. You don't want to be surprised by someone that leaves that you had figured that, well, there's
you
our...
You can't take anybody for granted.
There's our starting whatever,
right.
whatever position moving forward, and all of a sudden they're gone, and then you're like, oh my gosh, now we're going to have to go to the portal to plug that hole.
Yeah, I guess the fork in the road would be, and I don't know what's going on, you know, at that lunch with Carl Nonnemaker.
I wasn't there either. So,
were you like a booth behind?
No.
Were you trying to do the
We weren't even with him. I think that meeting took place in the hotel, probably in one of their rooms,
room closet.
Yes, exactly.
Right. So I would think the question is, does this year's record impact the plan at all?
I don't know how it couldn't.
Exactly, because I think Butch would love to develop out of the high school ranks and continue to sort of get to pitchers before right. they develop bad habits that other people have taught them, or just they miss out on crucial development when you get to a guy later in his career.
Right.
At the same time, it's important for the win-loss record to improve next year. I wonder if he needs to rely more on veteran pitching than he otherwise would want to, because
I think these are all incredibly well thought out questions that I know are a factor.
I think moving forward. Yeah, I think it's going to be impossible not to try to find somebody who is an anchor of your weekend rotation.
Without question.
Because a high schooler...
Who wouldn't want that?
Oh, absolutely. Go out and find the next Paul Skeens. Yeah, that's sure. all you got to do.
That worked out well, didn't it?
It surely did.
Yes.
And, there's a 30-30 guy out there.
He
we'll
still
take
looks
him
like
too,
he's got right? a chance, too.
Yes, yeah. I agree.
My goodness. All right, Andy Burcham with us here for another segment. We will get to our first break. Love for you to join in. You can do so by calling us on the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. That number's 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts.
We'll get to our first break. Come on in and join us here on the Tuesday Drive.
It's time to stop dealing.
Call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. Bill, Dan, Andy Burcham, voice of the Auburn Tigers, here in the studio. We've got Drew at the controls. And, yeah, we'd welcome your calls. Andy's with us for about 10 more minutes
Let me clear one thing up, because Jan was listening on the drive-in. All right?
Hi, Jan.
She says, for your information, Jan likes postseason play in baseball, but since we're not going to be there, it'll be nice to have our weekends and evenings free for a while.
Yeah, so we understand. Sure. You didn't mean that she wanted this team to just go ahead and be out of the postseason picture. No.
Okay, there we are.
We were just, during the commercial break, chatting about a surprising headline in the world of college basketball.
I had not seen that.
I had not either.
From earlier today. That yeah, I was asking you guys what you'd seen about. So earlier this week, it was a series of dominoes that started. I believe the head coach at Wyoming took an assistant coach job, right, at Texas Tech. I think that's right. And then that opened up the job at Wyoming. Sundance Wicks got the job from Green Bay going to Wyoming. The Green Bay job was open.
Right.
Earlier today, it's been announced that Doug Gottlieb, media personality, mm-hmm. former college basketball player, is the new head coach.
At one time, he was on ESPN 106.7 back in the day.
Yep.
Long time ago. So the word on the street is that he has campaigned for the job at his alma mater quite a bit at Oklahoma State. And I just wonder if they basically said, hey, Doug, we'd love to have you, but you've got to have some experience coaching.
You know what's amazing is his coaching experience in basketball is as an assistant to Bruce in the games in Israel.
Yes. Maccabee?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's been an assistant for Bruce Pearl in 2009. In 2017, he was the head coach of the team. Other than that, his experience post
if I mispronounce that, I apologize.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
Okay,
he's interviewed in the past for the Oklahoma State job, and he is and otherwise has been a media personality.
He has had a daily talk show on ESPN and Fox and elsewhere. He does some analyst work. As a matter of fact, he's done national radio. I think the last two times Auburn has played at Alabama, we've seen him.
I believe he does halftime coverage on Westwood One during the NCAA tournament. They'll go to him in the studio during.
But the crazy thing is, you said he's going to keep that. He's going to keep his job in media.
The last line of the ESPN story, and it's been confirmed that he will reportedly continue hosting his Fox Sports radio show while serving as the head coach. And in Green Bay, which just seems, I mean, Andy, as someone who sees the day-to-day work that, and granted, it's a little bit different in the SEC, but still, I've been around some mid-major coaches. I can't imagine trying to also do, even if you have a staff helping you out on the radio front, on top of the coaching duties, it feels like trying to juggle those two jobs at the same time is a big ask.
Just watching this coaching staff, what it goes through during the course of a season, let alone on just a game day, I think it'd be tough to do your daily show on day if you're on the road. I mean,
It's tough enough for Bruce to find time to be guests for 15 minutes at a time.
And he's as accommodating as there is.
He is.
So anyway,
fascinating
how that will be fascinating to see how that turns out.
It really does feel like he's just getting a little experience in before he tries to make a move. And I agree.
I can't imagine going to a Power Five school and saying, I'll keep my radio show to be your head coach.
No,
or that school saying yes.
It's a great deal for him.
Absolutely.
Deal for him. If things don't work, he's got the radio gig. He's probably got a better job.
I do wonder if a mid-major program sees a guy with a nationally
syndicated radio show.
And thinks, how many mid-major schools get the kind of exposure that we might have from Doug Gottlieb continuing to host his show on top of coaching?
There will be some restrictions as far as talking recruiting now, won't there?
I would think there better be.
Yeah.
I would also think you'd want to be, if you're serving as the head coach of a program, you'd want to be somewhat sensitive to the, you know, your bosses in what, yeah, I don't know how you delegate, how you juggle those two things is going to be, there's also a sort of a, I was reading on social media about, you know, and this is Doug Gottlieb. This was part of his pitch to Oklahoma State as well. The idea that he has well-connected, well-financed people willing to donate in the NIL space wherever he goes. And that's become I guess this trend started with the guy at Coastal Carolina who became the, you know, went from TD Ameritrade to Coastal Carolina head football coach, where it's like you bring a bunch of money with you and you say, if you give me the job, this can be yours. And I suppose at the mid-major level especially, that can be a powerful factor in deciding who gets the job, because you're right. Just based on the resume, curious move for a mid-major program,
right?
To go with Doug Gottlieb, but we're in a world where all kinds of new factors are at
nothing
play.
Should surprise us.
No, you're right. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar. Let's get to it. And Clay is up. Hey, Clay.
Hey, fellas, how are y'all this afternoon?
Doing all right, Clay. Good to hear from you.
Hey, Andy is, to me, he is like the next David Howell. And no disrespect to you, Bill.
Oh, that's fine.
I don't remember Auburn without Andy.
I've been here a minute. Bill's been here longer.
Bill's the current David Howell.
Yes, he is.
No, David is the David.
That's true.
David is the current David.
Sorry, David.
Well, I get it, but you know what I'm saying.
Andy, oh, yeah, absolutely, I do.
He's been on the radio more than he has. Now, Bill, if I can find it, I'm going to bring it and get you to autograph it. I've got a shirt that's one of those old caricature shirts.
Oh, the one of me and Jim?
On it. Uh-huh. AM 740.
Oh, yeah.
That's how long I've been listening to you.
Well, remember this. The last time Auburn basketball won at Kentucky, Bill was on the call.
That is right.
1988 is the last time Auburn went to Lexington
and won. That's me screaming while Jim's trying to
wrap it up there at the end of the game.
Andy, I couldn't have set this call up anymore because that's exactly what I called about.
Oh, well.
Okay. So,
I was never color was not my forte.
I'm going to make y'all feel real bad. I'm going to make everybody know how old y'all are. I'm 51 years old. I was in ninth grade when this happened.
Yeah. Yeah, I was
not. We're coming back from a junior high basketball tournament. Y'all were talking about this yesterday. And had been playing all day. We're all in the back of a Bronco cramping up and we hear the call of John Kaler coming off the screen and hitting the three. And we beat and the notorious or the infamous call from what's his name? He was like, there's no upsets in basketball, but this is an upset, is what Jimmy said.
Well,
fast forward 1 year. Here's something that it brought to my mind. Fast forward 1 year. What happened in the SEC tournament the next year?
Yeah.
John Kaler wasn't even a starter. And I can't remember if it was Shaquille O'Neal or Stanley Roberts. Auburn was like, I think, 12 and 18 or something like that. And we're like, but in the first round of the SEC tournament, they ran the same play. And I think it was Stanley Roberts comes out on John Kaler, and he drains a three right on top of him. And did it again.
And John may be listening because John's a local guy.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, it's sad. And Sonny and I have talked about this. Some on the air, sometimes off. Just wondering what John's career would have been if he had not had the medical trouble that he did. Because he was a very, very good basketball player that the medical issue kind of derailed a basketball career at Auburn. So.
Well,
but
and if you
good to say that
back,
John's still with us.
Yeah, absolutely.
You think that team that beat Kentucky, I mean, they weren't great, but they had two players. They had Derek Dennison and John Kaler. That was it. And then the next year we got, who was it, John Kaler and Ronnie Battle. And so they were actually more talented, but they just didn't put it all together. But
yeah.
I just remember both of those plays were exactly the same. And when y'all were talking about John Kaler yesterday, he's still one of them. He's in my heart. He's one of my favorite Auburn basketball players.
It's one of the great all-time plays in Auburn basketball history, period.
No question about it.
I tell you, the only other one, Andy, that just pops in my mind is when we played Arkansas, and I don't know if they were number one but they were at least in the top five, and it was when Tommy Joe Eagles was at Auburn, and Wesley Person run off a double screen and hit a three in the corner after being down by 20. I think that was 1993 or so, and he hit a three in the corner, and we beat them, and we rushed the court. And look, here's how funny it is at Auburn basketball now. We rushed the court. I'm there as a student, and we're standing out there, and we're not even filled up to half court. And you imagine right now if Auburn rushed the court.
There'd be an enormous fine for one thing.
That's true.
That was before fines. Yeah. Became a factor, right, Clay?
That was also before winning became customary.
Right.
Sure.
Yes.
At the home court.
Well, and there was also only like 2,500 people there on
yep.
a Saturday afternoon.
That is right.
You all could have rushed
Battle
the court.
Ronnie Battle dropped 40.
He could shoot.
Yeah, he really could.
Ronnie Battle could flat out fill it up. Now, he was as big around as – he was a small guy.
Yeah, you had Ronnie and Reggie Gallen.
Reggie Gallen came in
at the point. Yep.
All right, and let me ask you this on baseball, because I know you're a baseball guru, Andy. What in the world has gotten into Chase Awesome? That joker has been pitching his freaking brains out the last three times.
He, His last three outings are two wins and a very important four-inning relief that gave Auburn a chance that it eventually took advantage of in that win against LSU. He's had eight strikeouts, which set a career high, in a midweek start. He did nine against LSU and then had nine in his last start. Here's the thing. We know he throws the fastball well. He probably has the best fastball, but he's been able to locate his off-speed stuff, and now he's beating people with his fastball as a result of locating his off-speed stuff. And here's a guy that is helping his draft status because he's a junior. I think Auburn would love to have him back, but I've got to think that the draft is at least a prominent part of Chase's future, and he has helped himself immensely with his last three starts, and hopefully makes that four starts here this week.
Yeah, no question about it. Clay, really appreciate the call. Thanks for calling. Andy, I know you've got to head out here. I mean,
it's a free night.
How about that?
I know.
And then and then what after this weekend?
Right. Yeah, that's I struggle with the summer routine. I struggle with not having games to prepare for. It takes a while for me to find a season or a summer routine, because I'll get itching on that first spotting board for the very first game.
A&M, yeah.
It does afford Jan and I an opportunity to travel. It's the only time of the year where we can travel. So we're looking forward to going home and seeing family, and then we got a big trip coming up this summer. So we're looking forward to that.
You can't give us any hints as to where it's going to be?
I'll leave it
Andy
alone
doesn't
for
want,
now.
You know,
I'll just leave that
secret
alone for now.
Keep the paparazzi and the
right, because that happens so often.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, big series this weekend.
He's going to Europe for the Taylor Swift shows, and he doesn't want to tell us.
We are going to Europe. Taylor Swift will not figure in, okay? Let's put it that way. 6 o'clock. On Thursday, Friday, our pregame at 5:45 over on Wings. And then Saturday, remember, that's a 5 o'clock game thanks to TV. TV's picked that game up, so we'll be on there at 4:45. Let me just say this real quick. If there is enough weather, we could play Sunday. There is a provision that if the game decides seating, that Sunday is, and I hope it's a very remote possibility right now, but that is a possibility.
So just keep that in mind. Yeah. Andy, really appreciate it. Great having you back in the
studio. My pleasure, guys. War Eagle, have a great one.
All right, we will get to our bottom of the hour break. We'll open up the phones. Love for you to join in, 334-321-1390 here on the Tuesday Drive.
To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive, 20 minutes away from 5 o'clock here on this Tuesday afternoon. With Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls, our thanks to Andy Burcham, voice of the Tigers, joining us for the first couple of segments here on this Tuesday. And yeah, it is odd. I mean, to know that his season's about done, that baseball is just about done. I have not looked. I saw early on, we didn't talk about the golf. Auburn was still doing well. I got to admit, we were out of touch. I did, as instructed, I silenced my phone when we went to the movies.
Now, what's your review? Apes good?
Good.
Apes okay.
Great.
Apes okay.
It's okay.
Apes okay.
Okay. It's okay. I mean, you know.
Put that on the poster.
That's right.
Bill Cameron says apes okay.
Apes okay. I said it to a couple of folks. It's like when 2 hours in, you realize we're just setting up the next one. That's a little disappointing. I was hoping for a little more resolution or something there toward the end.
Yeah, and I do think sort of with, and I think Jurassic Park has veered this way too. A lot of what made the original – now, look, with Jurassic Park, a lot of what made the original a classic is the technical mastery on display and the unforgettable –
things you hadn't seen.
Yes,
something
yes.
You couldn't believe that you were seeing.
And I suppose people who experienced the original Planet of the Apes, the 68 movie
– oh, yeah.
Would say they were seeing things on screen.
Even though you could recognize Roddy McDowall and Paul Williams
and a few
of the others.
But it was a spectacle like you've never seen.
Oh, it was. Absolutely.
But I do wonder if these are – too dependent on blowing you away with special effects.
And I sort of felt like that's what it was.
Yeah, because there's
we had more close ups of the the apes' faces to see their expressions,
and that's great. Everything. But the original but that's, the 68 movie. Is there's tension and it's not just hey look at this cool stuff. There's some stuff going on and there's some commentary
there's a
message
on the human nature and the state of everything, especially for 1968.
If you've never
twists and turns.
If you've never seen Planet of the Apes,
I was telling Jacob that when I came in today.
Man.
I said, I mean, that is a great movie. It really is.
And, younger people in general are, seeing movies from the 60s and 70s and 80s, I think, seem increasingly alien to young people. And the way I would view, a Marx Brothers movie or something. But, even if movies from the 60s and 70s aren't your thing. And the sci-fi, can seem dated.
Yeah, it doesn't seem as believable.
But I'm telling you, if you got to power through, original Planet of the Apes, 1968 is just. I mean, it's because there is some, despite the technical limitations, Bill, some great sci-fi was made in the 60s and 70s.
No question.
2001. And yes. Clockwork Orange.
Oh yeah, no kidding.
And Star Wars and Alien, and I mean there's great stuff from the and Planet of the Apes. I would lump. Into that group, and it's absolutely worth checking out.
Yeah. So anyway, as I was saying, I had the phone off, and I wasn't checking the scores. That's what I was just trying to look at. Was the
you're trying to see some golf?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where is the leaderboard? Here we go. All right, Auburn is in second, still 5 shots back of Virginia. They're the only 2 teams. Under par after 2 rounds. Again, the top 5 teams advance right now. That would be Virginia, Auburn, Texas Tech, Duke, and Ohio State. LSU, of course, it's their course is in 6th, just 1 shot back of Ohio State. All right, 334-321-1390. We'll get back to the Drive hotline, and Tex is up next. Hey, Tex.
Hey, Tex.
Hey, Young Sheldon and Planet of the Apes are 2 things I've never seen.
You've never seen Planet of the Apes, Tex?
No.
That ain't Young Sheldon.
I've never seen Star Wars or Jurassic Park either.
Well, those are different. I mean, they're different types of
I'm not going to endorse any of the sequels, but there's nothing wrong with Jurassic Park 93. The Spielberg one from 93 is a solid sci-fi action movie with some
I did call Bill Cameron's show one time from Waimea Canyon in Kauai, which is where they filmed 2 of those movies.
You sure did.
So I walked the same place they had flying machines and dinosaurs. So it's anyway. So Dan, I called to pick on you a little bit today.
What I do?
Did I hear out of your mouth not too long ago that Butch Thompson's job may be in jeopardy?
What I was I think if Auburn were to follow up this season with another season like this one, I think there would be pressure. I think that it's tough for anyone, even a coach as accomplished as Butch Thompson, to have back-to-back sub-10 win SEC seasons. But at the I think it would be an astronomical mistake to make a move right now or after this season on Butch Thompson, unless he doesn't want to be the coach here anymore.
Oh, he wants to be the coach here. I promise you that. So I think I had a discussion with maybe your co-host yesterday about this. I believe that if we sign 12 pitchers during the signing period, we already knew we had an issue.
Now that's a fair point.
Yeah, I think that they knew there was an issue, and that it was going to be a struggle on the mound. I thought, although starters pitched reasonably well in Jacksonville, even at that time, I made the point actually on Jason's board and got chewed out by some guy that said no, pitching's our strength. I just didn't see it, especially when Gonzalez comes in and he's in the low to mid-80s with no sink on his ball. I think that's the biggest issue from a standpoint of we don't have a guy who used to be the guy or was the guy anywhere else. And unless we have one or two guys like that, it's going to be extremely difficult in this conference. Look at LSU. Just think about that.
Yeah.
I mean, they went from winning it all to barely scraping by to get in the conference tournament. They'll get in the tournament, but with their pitching, I can't see them going very far in a regional.
Tex, is there much science behind, because the point you just made about LSU, I mean, the same thing happened to Ole Miss, same thing happened to Mississippi State, right, mm-hmm. where these teams had very successful deep postseason runs culminating in championships and then struggled to, you know, even
to make the SEC tournament.
Yeah, the following year. And I'm wondering if it's just when you load up that much for 1 year, it's you just have so much to replace after a season that's successful, or like I'm sort of grasping at possible explanations for why things like that could happen, because it feels more it's not like a 1 year outlier like it was the first time it happened.
Well, I don't think that there's any science behind it, but I think in today's game, especially in the college game, aluminum bats. If you miss at 90 to 93, 94 in today's game, they punish you and punish you bad. And all they got to do is get the bat on it, and they can get balls in play. So I think just what I've seen pitching-wise this year across the board, control and placement have been most difficult for almost everybody. I also think that once in this league, if they get the book on you and they happen to know you may not swing at a first pitch fastball because you might be looking for it in a specific place and you don't get it, and then they can bury curveballs at your feet and it makes it difficult for you, you're going to get that, and we've got it from everybody. All of our left-handers are pitched the same way. Well, that's what we get because we don't move the bat very often on first pitch fastballs. So I think when the book gets out, and then you got it. Look, when you start losing like that, you begin to press significantly, especially if you're a guy that they're depending on to do something big all the time. And when you press in any game, when your hands tighten on the bat, when you squeeze the ball a little bit, you miss field balls that you don't normally miss field, you're going to struggle. So it kind of it multiplies as the game goes along or as the season goes along. But I felt like you were saying that Butch was in trouble this year. And if he's in trouble this year, then we got a management problem, because I think he's the second winningest coach in Auburn history. And I know Coach Baird is number one. The only one that would have a chance to be close to him is Coach Nix. And so – as much as I love Coach Nix, I love Coach Thompson even more.
The only reason, and I agree with you, Tex, about everything you just said about the whether or not you keep Butch Thompson. If Auburn thought the situation was so bad that there was no way it could, you know, next season can approach the kind of success Butch would need. Like maybe you could do the sort of galaxy brain. Well, let's let next season be the first year of a coach instead of the last year if the die is already cast. But I don't think the die is already cast.
We were just talking about
to believe next year's team could be better.
As Andy said earlier, he's already gone from an 8-win conference season to the College World Series and a 10-win conference season to the College World Series. So he's done that. And,
unless Butch doesn't want to stick around, I think it would be a huge mistake to move on after just this season.
Why would you even say that? There's not a chance. What has he ever done that would indicate that he wouldn't want to stick around here?
Exactly.
We're building everything that he asked for.
No, exactly. That's what. No, I just wanted to say like that. The only qualifier I would have for making a change this offseason would be if it were mutual. In some way, because I would not, I do not think just moving on from Butch, even after the struggles this season would be a good idea.
Yeah, I don't foresee that, and I will tell you that I think there may be, and I'm not ready to say it yet. I'll wait till after the end of the season. I think there will be one significant staff change that takes place, and
obviously, you wouldn't be surprised, you know, when you have a struggle like this year. Tex, we got to run.
Great stuff, Tex.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Uh-huh. Yep. We will get to our final break of hour number one. Love for you to join us as we continue here on the Tuesday Drive.
To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome in to hour number two here on the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls. Again, our thanks to Andy Burcham, voice of the Tigers, joining us for the first half of hour number one. We'd love for you to join in here as we head into hour number two, which is brought to you once again by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. And you can do so by calling us on the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. That number, 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts.
And let's go ahead and get to the Drive hotline. And Jerry gets us started this hour. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to hear about some of the high-profile baseball recruits coming in. And are they any local guys?
Let me see if I can pull that up because it's been a while since I've seen the list. I mean, they had a big class, and it was ranked, I believe, number five in the country. Let's see. Auburn put out a release on that early on, so...
this is the 2024 signing class.
The 2024 signing class. As we mentioned, it was pitcher heavy. All right, you've got
Tanner Waldrop.
Jackson Sanders, lefty from Opelika, the number one left-hander in the state of Alabama. Tanner Waldrop is, from Auburn High, catcher, who also can play some other positions as well. So there are a couple of local guys.
Taff Middleton is a local guy. He's a Columbus kid. I want to say he either finished or started at Central Phoenix City, but I want to say there was Central Phoenix City in there involved. So, yeah, a couple of local guys among the, was it 12?
12 pitchers. Yeah. And, you know, another familiar name on the signees for 2024 is a tall lefty from the west part of the state, Jack Sanderson. That is Whip Sanderson's grandson.
Well, great. Glad to hear some local guys.
Oh, yeah. Well, a lot. I mean, a lot of kids from Alabama. Let's see. Three, four, six, eight. Eight signees from the state of Alabama.
Enjoyed your show.
Appreciate the call, Jerry. Yeah, you've got, as a matter of fact, golly, I didn't realize that Jack Sanderson is not the only Tuscaloosa native that's coming in. Bodie Vail is a righty from Tuscaloosa. So Auburn not only going local, but picking up a couple of Tuscaloosa products as well.
Now will Auburn have, does Auburn have the room to go improve the team with veterans in the portal as well, with that many newcomers signed up through the high school ranks?
Well, here's the crazy thing. All right, since they're not full scholarships, you will see, and I believe Auburn had a situation like this last year, where you could have 40 guys fighting for spots to try to get on the, you know, you have a 27-man travel roster, and I believe it's 35-man full roster. So you could have some guys battling for spots. You'd rather have as many as you can have, as opposed to knowing you're going to need to find a half dozen more. I mean, the thing is, there is still a situation where you're going to have the possibility. I mean, Auburn's got a couple of top 50 guys that they signed. Connor Gatwood and Christian Chatterton are a couple of in-state players who have been ranked in the top 50 to 100 players in the country. And those guys very well could be taken pretty high in the major league draft. So you've got to have some other possibilities just in case, because it's very rare. If you have a highly touted signing class that that you're going to get all of them in school. That somebody's going to go decide that they'll take a chance, especially if a school's saying we'll pay you over slot and draft you, you know, depending on their situation cap wise.
Yeah, so I mean, there's still room for Auburn to to add. I mean, and we'll wait to see what the current roster decides to do too, because that's also a factor.
Yeah, that's the biggest question. I mean, who of the players that can be back will be back?
Because with the pressure to improve next season, that you know that especially the guys that are eligible to stick around, the guys who could come back. I mean, we've talked about, you know, which pitchers might stick around. Where does Auburn want to improve outside the roster? I mean, there are some hitters that they have to, you know, you have to imagine Auburn would want back, right? I mean, you think about the freshman season Cade Ballew is having, and
Eric Guevara. I mean,
Ike Irish in his second season.
And Andy was mentioning Chris Stanfield as another draft-eligible sophomore.
Draft-eligible sophomore.
But again, you know, at least the major league draft isn't as many rounds as it used to be.
Our pal Coop also with another year of eligibility.
Yeah,
he could come back
and sounded like when we were talking to him yesterday that is a serious possibility.
If you get those five guys back, and it's an if, but I mean, if you return those five players, I mean, the heart of your lineup is back. Before you really have to dig into the transfer portal or go on the recruiting trail to try to add talent to the team, and there's other guys as well, but that's a nice especially for a team that struggled as much as this team has. It's nice to have that many pieces conceivably that could be part of next year's team.
334-321-1390. Let's get back to the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar, and Greg is up next. Hey, Greg.
Hey, Greg.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing today?
Pretty good.
Yeah. We got some ball games. We got about four of them left. So
three. We ain't because the one tonight got canceled because of weather.
Well, we had one. I was talking about my little eight.
Oh, okay. I don't know how many you got left. That's right.
I love me some Auburn baseball, but I'm sorry. I just
it's been a tough year.
I'd rather watch AU. At this point, I'd rather watch AU. But no, I'm headed over there today. But I was gonna call in. I don't know. Just Pick y'all said about something. Let's kind of play a little game of y'all. Talking about this year, what's y'all's expectations for the football team? What's your floor? What's your ceiling?
I think I'm going to say eight for the floor.
What's crazy to me is, like, I think there are two games where it would be very, very surprising if Auburn won. Those are games in Athens and in Tuscaloosa.
Right.
I think there are four games that it's a coin flip or close to, and Auburn could be. I mean, remember last year's Auburn team is a win over New Mexico State away from being 7-5. Like that's last year's team. I think you could be, and last year's team played Ole Miss, Bama, Georgia, very close at home. Didn't win any of those games. Played those teams very close at home. You could be about as good as you were last year, and if Texas, A&M, and Oklahoma, and Missouri, and Kentucky aren't ready for prime time, you could be a 10-2 football team. I mean, you could be a 10-2 team with losses to Bama and Georgia. So I would think that the hope would be that you make progress from where you were last year, and you do that by being competitive or better in the games at Kentucky, at Missouri, and the games at home against A&M and Oklahoma, and hopefully, you know, you said eight. You go 2-2 in those four games and lose to Bama and Georgia, and you've won eight
in the regular season. That's my feeling. Here's the thing, Greg, that Auburn needs to do, in my mind, is win the games that you should win. I think, you know, Auburn lost a couple of ball games last year. They should not have lost. That happens a lot of times with first-year coaches. But it does not need to happen again. I mean, now crazy things could happen, and maybe you do, but you can't have performances like the New Mexico State and the Maryland game.
You stumble against Cal or Arkansas, and it's a real problem because of what you have left on
right.
the schedule.
Well, I'm gonna say this right here. Well, you know, let's name some things off here because I'm with you, Bill. I think eight wins, seven at the least. And then you got some wiggle room right there, and this is why. defensive line got better or got worse?
I believe it's better.
What you think about your offensive line?
I believe the offensive line's better.
All right. Receivers.
I am. If the receivers aren't better, then everybody's been fooled.
All right. Well, then what about the defensive backs?
Defensive backs, I think, are going to take a little bit of a step back just because of the inexperience there. I think they've got talent. And, you know, they have potential to be better. But right now, I'd say last year's group, just because of experience, I'd give them the edge.
And I'd be careful about defensive line getting better because Marcus Harris was probably the best player on last year's defensive line, and he's gone.
Agreed.
And Justin Rogers is also drafted into the NFL.
But I think Keldrick Falk will take another step, and that'll help an awful lot.
Well, I think the gelling process, that first four games and then Oklahoma coming in is going to be a big one. But just looking back last year, you know, the unexcusable loss of the whole deal was Mexico State. That right there was they overlooked them big time, and you can't do that. You turned up, you played.
Yeah, and you get to play that quarterback again this year because he's at Vandy.
Well, that's good. He's gonna get him some because I'm gonna tell you something. The biggest problem I seen we had last year, and I know y'all gonna attest to this. Last year's team, in my opinion, had no business being an 8-win team, but a dang near could have been a 9-win team. Had no business doing it, but they was right there at it. What was the one thing that plagued us in key moments? I want to hear what y'all got to say about that.
Throwing the football?
Completing
passes. I mean, Auburn's passing offense. There's times when the ball wasn't thrown at all because the guys weren't open. Yep. There's times when the ball wasn't thrown accurately when the guys were open.
Yeah, you better not see. I mean, unless Auburn's running for 350 yards in a game, there better not be games where Auburn's throwing for under 100 yards to run it at will.
I'm not trying to be a jerk about anything. How many games did y'all go back and watch on some of them losses? Watch the receivers. Because I went back and watched.
I didn't really want to go back and watch a lot of them, to be honest.
You know what? I the biggest thing was that people sit there thinking, you know, okay, well, Thorne, you know, yeah, he was holding on to it, but he lost confidence in his receivers.
No
and
question.
And then I started watching it. And then you see some loafing on certain ones. And then, you know, you got guys hitting them in the dang hands. I mean, look at Georgia. All you had to do is catch the dang ball against Georgia, and you won that ball game. I mean, I can't tell you how many times Andy's sitting there, and I'm listening to it. And it's like, it's a catch. Oh, my gosh, he dropped it. You know, I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've seen that last year. I mean, the Alabama completion percentage for Peyton Thorne, he put it in the hands. We dropping balls. I mean, there's a reason we run the football like we did, because you know what? We had guys out there that, you know, they wanted to pout about something. Then when they got the ball thrown at them, hit them in the hand. I guess it hit him in a bad spot. But
I had somebody point out earlier today that Peyton Thorne made a couple of throws that weren't completed in the Iron Bowl that probably, you know, put Auburn in a even better chance to win that game than they already did. And I think that's an excellent point because you can't. I mean, it's not normal. For when was Hugh Freeze hired, Bill? We're 18 months in or so.
Yeah, we are. Year and a half.
18 months in. It's not normal for one receiver to still be on the team from the 2022 Iron Bowl and for everyone else to have been, you know, for the roster to have turned over that considerably. But that's what's happened. Camden Brown is the one receiver left from the 2022 team that's still on the team. Everyone else it's everyone else in that receivers room has joined the team since then, signing to play for Hugh Freeze, and I think that's a sign of how urgent the problem was at receiver when Hugh Freeze got here.
Well, you know, guys, I mean, that's the whole reason you got a chance at that GG right there, because you got some quality young guys on the team. I mean, look here, I'm not going to sunshine pump it here. I mean, we're talking about Auburn. This Hugh Freeze era right here, getting on to a good start. He's recruiting right, but we got to win the ball. We got to win some ball games. We got to go out there and beat somebody. Mm-hmm. We had some chances last year to upset some guys. We had no business upset. But, you know, we're coming around. They're going to come around, and they're going to get better. I'm going to tell you, they can't get no, the receiving corps can't get no worse. But let's just be realistic here. If you're going to have a good season, you're going to win any kind of championship, you got to have some luck. Luck's got to go your way sometimes.
Oh, you're right. You're right. It's very, very rare that you don't. Yeah, very rare that you don't win a game.
War Eagle, guys.
Yep. Appreciate the call, Greg. We need to get to our first break. Dan, hang on. You'll be up first when we come back as we continue with the Tuesday Drive.
I'm Jessica Samuel with Opelika Power Service.
106.7 online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Let's get right to the drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. Dan's been hanging on for a while. Hey, Dan.
Hey, Dan.
Hey, guys. Enjoying the show.
Appreciate it.
My frustration with baseball is really the pitching development and handling of pitchers. And, you know, last year Drew Nelson was opening day starter. Crutchfield started SEC games.
And they basically disappeared this year.
Disappeared. Cam Kelly came in with all kinds of potential. And they just, I think it was the game they lost this weekend. Parker Carlson was in and started getting hit pretty hard, and even the announcers from ESPN were saying, boy, he hasn't thrown this many pitches in a game, and he's getting tired. And
yep.
Left-hander comes up with the bases loaded, and I'm thinking he's got Crutchfield in the bullpen, he's got Nelson in the bullpen, he's got others, and he leaves them in there, and it's a grand slam. And I'm like, well, you know what? It's just frustrating just watching the development and then just either taking pitchers out too soon or leaving them in
The timing for whatever reason has just been off. It's like leave them in one batter too long or take them out and you're wondering why. You know, it's that's the way it is when things aren't going well. But you're right. You're absolutely right. It's been more than a little frustrating.
Yeah, speaking of frustrating, I'm a Pirates fan, and I've got to watch Paul Skenes debate. The MLB had it free that day. And,
yeah.
Talk about a tale of two games. I mean, he went four innings, seven strikeouts, 17 pitches over 100 miles an hour, and he left the game with a 4-1 lead and guys on first and second. And by the end of the top of the fourth, it was 6-1. And then by the end of the top of the fourth, it was 8-6. The Pirate relievers came in and hit a batter and walked like seven straight batters. I just never had seen a major league team do that before. And
man, I tell you what, I feel for you. Feel for you as a Pirates fan. I mean, it's been tough. They've got, man, they have some real talent there in the rotation. Man, what a nice looking young rotation they have. But yeah, even Bednar has, he's got eight saves, but it's been tough for him this year at the end.
Oh, I know, and I feel sorry for Jared Jones.
He can't get a win.
You look at his record, and his ERA is like 2.2, and he has a 2-4 record, and it's just how many times does he leave a game, down 1-0?
Jones and Skenes, I think are really exciting. Reminiscent of, saying like Kerry Wood, Mark Pryor 20 years ago or something. The lineup is probably not ready for prime time this season. It's going to be, that could turn, as the season goes on or
better this year. I mean, he's an exciting guy. I'm surprised that they've been able to hang on to Brian Reynolds, but yeah, they definitely need some more pieces.
Yeah, sad thing was I saw a meme and said Paul Skenes in 3 years and they had him in a Yankees uniform and one had him in a Dodgers uniform.
Yeah.
No. All right, guys. Hey, I really enjoy this new show.
It's great hearing from you, Dan.
Georgia,
yeah, yeah.
But really able to keep up with Auburn sports and professional baseball, so keep up the good work.
Oh, yeah.
Great,
yeah.
Great stuff.
Definitely, yeah. Definitely call us back. We appreciate that. 334-321-1390.
Sounds like a Greystoner there. Love that. Good stuff, Dan.
It's got to be tough. I mean, it got to be tough to be a Pirates fan.
Sure.
I mean, they
you haven't won since Barry Bonds left.
No, that's right.
I mean, it's been rough. That was a while ago.
And
I mean,
you look at some other teams that are in markets about that size, and they've been able to compete a little better than the Pirates.
Tell you what, though, it's a proud fan base.
No question about it.
That's a fan base that does not. And if you're ever in the Pittsburgh area during baseball season, that ballpark is gorgeous. I got to go when it was new. This is in the early 2000s, but it's just really, really cool. So check out the ballpark if you get the chance ever in Pittsburgh.
Let's get back to the Drive hotline, and we have another Dan. It's just all Dan.
And neither of them are me.
That's right.
To be clear, what's up, Dan?
Not much. How are you guys doing?
Doing all right. Good to hear from you, man.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to respond to two callers ago. You know, when they're talking about the wide receivers last year, you know, how we changed over so many guys and stuff, I think Peyton Thorne would have done so much better if he would have obviously had receivers that he trusted in, receivers that could get open, receivers that were fast enough to beat their man. You know, those are all things that are necessary to give a guy an open target. And if the guys are never open and they expect a ball to be dropped perfectly in place, and even if all that happens, he still drops the ball, then all of a sudden your whole game plan on offense changes because, you know, you can't count on those guys. And so now all of a sudden, instead, you're only throwing to the tight ends. You're throwing to the running backs or the quarterbacks taking off and running. That's the options. You know, I think this year it could be completely different because if you have guys that you can't just leave one-on-one with the cornerbacks, then the safeties have to stay back. They have to cover. They have to actually help out. Then all of a sudden the linebackers can't blitz because now they don't want to leave the middle of the field wide open. You know, and then all of a sudden your offensive line's only got to block the four guys in front of them. All those things are like game changer things if you can just get a couple receivers who the other team's afraid of. And we haven't had that in forever.
Oh, I mean, if the other team, if the defense has to play your passing attack, if the defense has to, you know, if they play honestly, it can change everything about, you know, especially if your quarterback is a bit of a run threat as Peyton Thorne was last season. Like that changes it. And when a defense doesn't respect your ability to throw the ball and they key in on the run on every play, it can make things really tough for an offense that can't effectively attack a defense that way. So yeah, the hope is that I mean that's been the story of Hugh Freeze throughout his college football career, is that if you upgrade the wide receiver position, it can have a rising tide lifts all boats sort of effect on the entire offense.
Yeah, I just think this year could be so much different just because of that. Just the receiver position alone, I do expect everything you guys said. The offensive line should be better. You know, the tight end group should be better. You know, at the end of the year, Fairweather was looking like an All-American, and where he started out, he was kind of quiet. You know, didn't do a lot in the beginning. You know, but I just think that having some receivers that the other team has to worry about is going to change the whole entire offense. And, you know, half the games we played, a couple plays here and there, you know, it's a different game, different score, you know, different team wins. So I think this year's going to be big.
Man, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to seem like it takes forever to get here, doesn't it, right now? I mean, here we are in the middle of May, and, you know, we still got 3.5 months to go.
Yep. And the only thing, say one more thing. I think the most important thing for us to do is we have probably, I would consider, 4 games to get all these young guys who are potential superstars in the game, and I would throw the heck out of the ball, and I'd get them so many catches in the first games that by the time we get to the hard games, they're already sophomores, basically, in terms of, you know, how they feel on the field, so... Anyway, appreciate it, guys.
Appreciate the call, Dan.
That's interesting, the amount of experience they get in the first 4 games.
I don't disagree with that. I think you try to play. Hopefully, you're in a position to be able to get them as much experience as possible to find out, all right, who are you going to count on when you really get into the big games?
I would be careful because I don't know if Auburn – I mean, Auburn destroyed Arkansas last year in Fayetteville, but I don't know if Auburn is so much better than Cal and Arkansas that they can – you know, they can sort of, you know, look at these as opportunities to get guys experience versus football games that Auburn desperately needs to win. But if you can accomplish both of those things, if you can take care of business in your more challenging of the in the more challenging games of the first four, which are the two games against Power Five opponents, Cal and Arkansas, if you can win those games and get guys valuable experience, mm-hmm. that bodes well for the game against Oklahoma in week five.
Oh, no question about it. I know we're coming up on our bottom of the hour break, and we will ask Jake Crane about this. Auburn with a literal big visitor on campus as we speak, as Dylan Mitchell, the former five-star power forward who's been at Texas the last couple of years, is visiting Auburn. Auburn, among quite a few schools, courting Dylan. I think Ohio State, Cincinnati, Miami are also very much in there. We'll talk to Jake about that as Auburn still looks to fill out its basketball roster as well. So Jake Crane coming up with us on the other side from Crane and Company. Stick with us for the final half hour here on the Tuesday Drive.
ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Tuesday afternoon. Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls, and we will head to the drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar. Welcome in our good friend from Crane & Company, and that is Jake Crane. Jake, how you doing today?
Man, I'm doing fantastic, guys. How are y'all?
Doing all right. Good to hear from you, Jake.
Hey, you too.
So, here we are. We're still a portaling, as it seemed like a couple of weeks ago. Let's start. You want to start basketball or football, Dan?
We've been talking a lot of. I don't know. I mean, the more pressing stuff feels like basketball right now.
Because you
have more players. More big names. There's more dust settled with football rosters right now. But we were just talking football. If you want to get to that receivers question, I think maybe that's a good place to start with.
Yeah.
That.
Okay. We'll do that. We were just talking. Had a caller talking about. Thoughts for this year, the floor for this year. We were talking about that a little bit with a caller a while ago, and one of our callers was just saying, we're looking at positions. Where has Auburn improved? And I said the only place that I feel like right now, as we head into the off season, that I wouldn't say Auburn is at least as good, if not better, would be in the secondary because of the inexperience that there is there.
Yeah, I think that's the obvious answer. When you look at what they've been able to do on the defensive line, obviously in that wide receiver room. But, there's some young guys back there, but there's some talent back there.
You know,
it's not all inexperience. Losing Colton Hood, that one was tough. He's going with his brother to play at Colorado as a young guy that I think could have done some things, especially on special teams. But they'll find a way. This defense, I would rather be good up front and be able to and have to kind of patch it together in the back end and vice versa, and Auburn really hadn't been in that spot lately. So that just adds more emphasis on the defensive line, letting those young guys come along, getting experience, getting to the quarterback, getting them in passing down so you can get in two-man and things like that. But, you look at wide receiver as well. Auburn upgraded there, obviously, not just with the young guys, but bringing in Robert Lewis, bringing in Keandre from Penn State, two veteran guys that I think will blend well in that room. So, again, this team's going to be better up front, and I would rather it be that way and put the rest of the icing on the cake at the skill position.
It's remarkable how much turnover Auburn has seen at the wide receiver position, Jake. I mean, Hugh Freeze has only been on the job 18 months, and do I have the numbers right, Bill, that if you factor in Malcolm Simmons and Perry Thompson, who aren't here yet, what Auburn is likely to have in fall camp is 9 scholarship receivers, and 8 of them were not on the team when Hugh Freeze arrived. And it's a remarkable, those numbers could be close. I know Camden Brown is the only scholarship receiver still on the team from the 2022 season. It's remarkable how much work that room needed, and the way Hugh Freeze and his staff, including Marcus Davis, have gotten to work.
Yeah, you know, it kind of reminds you of those shows on HGTV where they go and, like, renovate the house, yeah. And they're like, move that bus.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it's going
to
be like.
Hugh Freeze drove to Auburn in a crane, right, with a wrecking ball.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, look, we'll see with some of the young guys that are coming in. I'm excited. I think, you know, Perry's a guy that down the road is going to end up being an elite player. We'll see how he does early. But the talent level has risen, and really the ability level when you factor in experience. Again, I brought up Robert Lewis from Georgia State, who's the guy I think that Auburn people are going to fall in love with this year. And then obviously Keandre at Penn State. I think it was good to get out of that situation, kind of the way the passing game went for him last year at Penn State, even though, you know, Penn State does have a new offensive coordinator. I'm not 100% sold on Aller. But, yeah, that Auburn wide receiver room, it should be a lot more fun. And don't forget, Rivaldo Fairweather, that's a nice piece to have there in the seam as well. He's probably going to be causing more headaches for defenses than anybody catching passes.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many more weapons. And that's what we were talking about, one of the callers was talking about. I mean, Auburn didn't have anyone who scared anyone that would ever worry about having a safety even shade over there. They were just could go man, and then Auburn was left having to throw the ball to Rivaldo, and everybody knew that. And so many more options available this fall. The other thing that we were just talking about is, caller was wondering, well, they're in the first few games, don't you want to play these young guys as much as you can? And I agree completely, not taking things for granted, but I mean, against the Alabama A&Ms and people like that, it's a great opportunity with the five straight home games, especially the four leading up to the Oklahoma game, to try to see, you know, who's ready for prime time.
Well, in a perfect world, you hope that playing the young guys means you get up enough to put the young
right.
guys in there. But in Auburn's case, it's not exactly like that. So, look, on one hand, obviously you want to get the younger players more experience. That always helps. You know, some people are worried about the risk of injury. But to me, I look at it as, listen, if we got young guys starting, we got even younger guys or a lot less talented guys behind them. We need to be able to build up some sort of depth. So you want to make sure that everybody gets reps, meaningful reps. There's some guys that, you know, at the end of the day, those lights come on during the game. They're a different cast than they may be at practice most mm-hmm. days. You know, it just is how it is. So you really want to be able to work that depth, not just get the young guys a lot of reps, mm-hmm. but give everybody a lot of reps. So, you know, when attrition happens, which we all know it does in this game, you're more prepared.
Yeah, and we were talking about expectations and the schedule and some of the other conversations we've been having about this group. Well, first of all, with regards to playing the young guys, you know, when two of your four best receivers or better are true freshmen, like when the numbers look like that, playing the young guys becomes a little bit easier because they're like the starters on the depth chart.
Yeah, but, Cam Coleman, like, man, that's a good young guy to have.
Yeah. I mean, you have to wait.
You're not forced to play him. He forces himself.
That spot was won at birth.
Yeah, it helps. But then, I mean, looking at the schedule for this upcoming season, Jake, I mean, Auburn has road games in Athens and Tuscaloosa, which will be tall orders, not just for Auburn, but for just about anybody in college football. But beyond that, seem like the games that sort of decide what kind of season Auburn is going to have. The 4, 5, 6 next toughest games on the schedule, at Missouri, at Kentucky, home against A&M, home against Oklahoma. You could maybe lump Cal at home in that mix somewhere as well. Like those are the games that seem like they're going to have a huge role in determining not just what kind of season Auburn has this year, but is the Hugh Freeze experiment working or not on the field? After Alabama and Georgia, is there a game that strikes you as really pivotal, really interesting, really important for Auburn this season?
Well, look, if Auburn's going to be what I think they're most likely going to be, I wouldn't be shocked if they got out of the gate 5-0, including beating Oklahoma at home. You do that, then all of a sudden, and again, we as people in the media, we can look ahead. They don't need to look past the next class.
No, they better not.
Weight lift or the next rep. But looking ahead, if you can do that, I mean, let's go ahead and draw up. It's probably going to be an Alabama and Georgia, most likely, if we're going to play the most likely game. I hope I'm wrong by a million. But so let's say you're sitting there at 5-2. You go win that game at Kentucky. you're looking at probably 9-3. Like, to me, that's the game I'm looking at. Obviously, you know, you want to win all of them, but at Missouri is going to be really tough.
Yep.
But if you can win that game at Kentucky and handle business at home to start the year, that A&M game I think is gettable too. Like, you get to, 9's a shiny number. It's and you know what? It keeps you in the conversation a little bit too for a long time.
Oh, certainly. I mean, that's where – I mean, the difference between 6-6 and 10-2 could be just a handful of plays, depending on how those games – turn out
God,
for Auburn.
It
and that's
always is.
Game of inches, Jake. It really is. So
you know, at Auburn, we don't save the drama. It's amazing.
No, I'm sure we'll get our money's worth with those games this fall. I can't wait, Jake. So it's a pivoting to basketball a little bit, because there's still some really some important
Auburn needs a couple of spots filled. One in the backcourt, one in the front court, and they've got one of the bigger names in the portal, a former five-star, and Dylan Mitchell is on campus, I believe, right now. No question. Now, he's a guy that played 29 minutes a game last year at Texas. How's Auburn got to handle, you know, the pitch? How does Bruce Pearl handle that? Because that's apparently been a problem with some of the last few guys that Auburn's been recruiting, is, you know, they haven't been able to just say, yeah, you can step in and you're going to get your, you know, 25 to 30 minutes a game.
And some of the other guys recruiting those folks have been able to say, we got a starter's job available.
Yeah. And look, that's why I think you see the guys that Auburn have signed, why they've been so special, right? Because they've bought into that. It almost forces you to have to become a team. It's really like a 4D chess play. And I get it, you know. Are there times where, you know, I think in pivotal moments, you know, you play guys more than others? Yeah, but Bruce Pearl does that. It is hard to sell because, again, you're – but I go back to what Alabama used to – I used to get asked all the time, how does Nick Saban sign 3 5-star running backs in a class? Like, how does he do it? They can't all run the ball. Well, what he says is, listen, I'm not going to come in here for 3 years and give you 25 carries a game, and by the time you go to the combine, you're beat to death and used goods. I'm going to come in here and give you, you know, 12 to 15 carries. Maybe we'll get close to 20, throw you some out of the backfield. You'll be a good pass blocker, and then you'll go make millions of dollars in the NFL and get drafted even higher. So I guess, you know, you kind of have that angle. But, again, if think about it from the kids, the player's perspective. I am transferring. I don't get it. I don't, you know, again, I feel, you know, it feels like you can transfer a million times, but you don't get too many shots at this. So he wants to play. It's just, it's an interesting situation, but Bruce has threaded the needle before. And if they get Dylan Mitchell, I mean, that's a big time piece. Let's be good at guard, please.
Really?
We had Blake Lovell on the Observer podcast last night talking about some of the other teams in the SEC and where moves have been made. And I mean, it's an odd year because I think Alabama and Auburn will be preseason. I mean, especially if Mark Sears comes back, preseason top 10 teams, two of the two favorites to win the league. Beyond that, it's a lot of eye of the beholder. Depending on, you know, what you think of these moves or what you think of that moves, is there a coach or a team or a move that stands out beyond Alabama or Auburn in the SEC? Is there a program where you like the last couple of weeks they've had as a basketball team?
Well, I think what Cal's done at Arkansas, and you knew he was going to do it. I mean, they're stacking a pretty good roster down there, and you know, if you followed SEC basketball for a while, you know when Arkansas can get that's a scary place. Mm-hmm. Arkansas can get really, really hot, and when they do, they're really tough. There's a reason. I mean, Musselman made it what to like back to back Elite Eights and a Sweet 16. I mean, that's a tough place. But I tell you, man, Todd Golden in Florida, it just seems like he has a plan. He gets the guys he wants. He's pretty much putting a mirror image, but a little bit better version of what they had last year. I think he's going to be a problem. He's going to be a big problem at Florida. Again, a school with a ton of tradition in basketball, won the national championship back-to-back. So, look, I mean, at this point, now we're adding Texas and Oklahoma, and Porter Moser's desperate at Oklahoma. I mean, it just – the SEC, good luck. Let's get to the NCAA tournament and figure it out.
Well, one of the things – I know a lot of Auburn fans looking at the schedule that came out the other day looks pretty favorable, really, for Auburn. I mean, you've got – you know, Alabama, Georgia, and Ole Miss are the teams you played twice. But when you're looking at the home and away, you go to Lexington, a place where you haven't won since since 88. But this looks like about as good a shot as you could ask to head to Lexington. You get Florida at your place. You know, you don't have to go down to Gainesville. You've got Arkansas coming in. I mean, I think the schedule is pretty darn favorable for being in this league.
Yeah, and all the talk about the transfer portal, let's not forget, Auburn has like a ton of really good experience coming back. Like,
oh, yeah.
This is going to be a really good team. And I did see that. I liked it. And if you're ever going to go get them in Lexington, you got to punch them early, on the off chance that Mark Pope doesn't figure it out eventually. It's going to, man, you almost got to look at the schedule different, Bill. Like the teams are so different. You know, typically what we're used to seeing. And so, I mean, Georgia can be scary with Mike White, with what they're doing.
Oh, they're getting better. No question.
So, look, we're not going to know. There's always a couple surprises. Who'd have thought South Carolina was going to do what they did last year? I mean, it's going to be somebody. So, look, at this point it looks favorable, but who knows? Holler at me a couple weeks in.
Arkansas and Kentucky were the two teams that I think folks were paying the most attention to because they made coaching changes this offseason and because they both – had to remake their entire rosters. I like I see the plan with Mark Pope. I don't know if it's going to work in that they're going to be a regular season champion and clearly the best team in the SEC the way Kentucky has been in the past. But I think that it's a strategy, and it feels like a lot of folks, you know, it's just best available player is the strategy in the transfer portal, or who can we go get? And with Mark Pope, he's leaning on experience. He's leaning on defense. I do wonder if ultimately there's going to be enough offense there. But, I mean, he's landed five or six guys that, you know, project as one of the top two or three defensive options in the portal at their respective positions, and they're all going to go play at Kentucky.
Yeah, he's trying to change the culture, right? Change the identity. I think Kentucky's always going to be able to get players that can score. But the difference is your offense and these high-flying offenses that they've had, you're not always going to operate at the highest efficiency level. It's just like in any sport. You got to be able to win in multiple ways. I thought Kentucky basketball was a lot like LSU football from last year. Really good offensively. I mean, Dillingham, Reed Shepard, you know, the trees and redwoods they have running up and down the court that can score and get offensive rebounds. But defensively, they were a little bit soft. You know, that they were able to be pushed around, and maybe that's being young. Maybe that's an offset of that. But at the end of the day, you know, that approach doesn't work in the NCAA tournament. You can't be a one-trick pony because there's going to be a couple games, whether it's against St. Peter's in the first round or from a team named Oakland that's from Rochester, Michigan. You got to be able to win with rebounding and defense at some points, and Kentucky just hasn't been able to do that. So I commend him. It makes sense.
Yeah, this league is just, it's insane and just getting better and better. I mean, one of the things that we were just laughing at the other day is you looked at every SEC softball team is in the tournament, but the top two national seeds are going to be joining the conference in Oklahoma and Texas.
I mean, like at this point, it's so obvious. It's unbelievably impressive. I mean, and it's been, if you really think about it, it's been really quick. The way this has happened. I just wish the SEC would perform better in the NCAA tournament to go ahead and put the final cherry on top.
Yeah, well, there's always pretty much every sport this upcoming season, so they'll have opportunities.
Sure.
Hey, Jake.
Yeah, you should see him in golf.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're not kidding. You're absolutely not kidding. Yeah. Jake, we're just about out of time. Let everybody know what you got coming up and, of course, how they can get it if they haven't already figured it out.
Oh, definitely. Well, we're talking a lot of Auburn, a lot of college football, obviously keeping our eye on the basketball portal. It's Crane & Company. You can find it on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. We've been going 6:30 a.m. to 8 a.m. in the morning live. It stays on there all day. But starting next Monday, we're going to be going at 2 p.m. Central. So really excited about that. So, come check us out.
Yeah, I'm sure you get to sleep a little bit longer. That's great.
Oh, man, it's going to be amazing. Well, the thing is, I can't sleep past 7 anyway, so I'm just going to pretend I'm excited about it.
Oh, okay, I hear you. Great stuff, Jake. Right, thanks again, man. Have a great week.
See you, bud.
Y'all too.
All right, we'll get to our final break. Back to wrap it up here on the Tuesday Drive.
If you truly care.